Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 18. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we open your word. And Lord, I'm asking today that your Spirit would help us, that you would move in my heart and help me to preach what I believe you've given me. And Lord, those listening, please, by your Spirit, move in their hearts. Show yourself to be mighty, as the scriptures we're reading says that you are. Help the people to understand. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our study in the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16. And if you've heard me say this before, well, I hope that you would bear with me a little bit so that those joining us, perhaps, would understand what we're studying. Jesus was with his disciples 3.5 years, and through the Gospels you will see that he mentioned about the Holy Spirit here and there. And we know that on the great day of Pentecost that the Spirit fell and empowered the disciples to win the lost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." And the verse goes on a little bit, but the point is that we are to be witnesses of Christ. Jesus spent 3.5 years with his disciples, but he was going away. And as he is speaking, in just a few hours he would be taken and tried and crucified. We know that he rose from the dead. We know that he spent 40 days with his disciples, and we know that he went to heaven. And again, and you can look at Acts chapter 1 to see the story of the ascension. But just a few hours, as I said, before he would be taken, Jesus spent time talking about the Holy Spirit. And again, he would make little references through the Gospels in the time that he was with his disciples. But he thought it important before he left to reassure his disciples that though he was leaving, and they didn't really understand at this point what was happening. They didn't understand that he would be dying for the sins of the world. They didn't understand. When he ascended, they surely didn't understand. But he is saying to comfort them that the Spirit would come. And again, we can read about the great miracles in the book of Acts, what have you. We can see when the power of God rested upon the individuals, the prophets, what have you. In the Old Testament, we can see the miracles that were performed. And all of those things are very important. But as important as the outward manifestation of the Spirit is, the most important thing, and I've said this again and again and again, the most important thing about the Spirit in the life of the believer is that he comes to live inside. that Jesus Christ, He's on His throne, and the Father also is on His throne. But the promise of the Father is this, that the Spirit would come to dwell in the believer. And if you've listened, I guess a few weeks ago when I last taught on this subject, we taught extensively about the indwelling of the Spirit. We talked about from the book of John chapter 3, for instance, when Nicodemus asked, and Jesus mentioned being born again. And we said, and I'll say again today, that the indwelling of the Spirit is very precious in the life of the Christian. The disciples, as we read, and as history tells us, most of the apostles were crucified or beaten or killed with a sword or some manner of death. Peter being crucified, James being killed with a sword, etc. Most of the apostles were martyred. You can look through history. After the time of the apostles, there were many Christian martyrs. Even today, perhaps in Sudan, we know of Christians that are martyred there today. The Bible talks about laying your life down for the Savior. Paul said, I die daily. I understand that it's a daily walk, but also, many have died because they love their Savior. And I believe in part, yes, that the sins are forgiven. You can say that those that were martyred knew that their sins were forgiven, and they gladly laid their lives down. I understand that. But also, too, I believe that I can say, I know in my own life, I know what it was like to be lost. I know what it was like to live in a cloud of depression for too many years that I care to remember. I've told, perhaps on this broadcast, of before I became a Christian, I was physically hurting inside because of the emptiness that I experienced. I was so empty inside, so utterly empty, and despair. I walked around the LSU campus during that time, between classes or after classes or what have you, walking around hurting and almost crying because of the pain in my heart. There was nothing physically wrong with me, but there was a hopelessness and a despair that I thought at that time, I didn't know what to do. I thought it was going to kill me. I ran through everything, every solution that I could come up with. Drinking, smoking dope. At one point I thought, let me run away from life. Maybe I'll join the Navy. And my knee gave out during delayed entry. Maybe I've told this story. So I didn't quite get to the Navy. I don't know that the Navy would have helped me. I probably would have been drummed out. I was in a bad way. And again, it was not physical, but there was an emptiness in my soul. An emptiness. And I know that I've told on this station, when Christ came into my heart, it brought me such joy. I remember mere minutes after saying, yes, Lord, I will serve you, that the spirit of joy and gladness fell upon me. I remember, brand new Christian, what did I know? My hands in the air, thanking God, almost dancing around my dorm room in South Stadium at LSU. I went to bed that night. The next morning, I opened my eyes that next morning saying, is it real? Did I dream this? And just a few seconds later, the Spirit of God flooded into my heart again. Just a precious moving of the Spirit. And I was so thankful. I was almost in tears, thanking God that this thing is real. The emptiness was gone. The hopelessness was gone. The despair, gone. The Holy Spirit is precious. I can testify that it is so. Perhaps many of you can testify. And if you say, well, I don't understand, Pastor. I don't understand, Brother Kelly. Well, perhaps in listening, and perhaps as we study the Word of God, you'll understand the Spirit of God living in a person, taking up residence in a person, is a precious, wonderful thing. And that's what Jesus is speaking about in these very verses. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Then he makes this statement, because I live, ye shall live also. And perhaps he's mentioning several things. We can say with Martha, in John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus, risen from the dead. Then said Martha unto Jesus, in verse 21 of that chapter, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And this wonderful verse, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And his question to her, Believest thou this? He says here in chapter 14 we just read, Because I live, ye shall live also. He is referring to the resurrection. But I believe also he is referring to regeneration. When the Spirit of God comes to live in our hearts, when we're born again, there are a number of things that happen. There's the legal work, for instance, of justification. There's sanctification, and there's the indwelling of the Spirit, and I don't want to get into detail and be precise about it. But our dead works, our unregenerated dead nature, our sin nature, and what have you, there's a regeneration process. Because I live, ye shall live also. Again, I believe he's talking about the resurrection eventually, but also the work of regeneration that takes place when we are born again. But he says here in this verse 19, Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Not shall see me, but ye see me. He was there, the disciples saw him, and it was a reality that they would be born again shortly. And by the Spirit, and again, we laid a foundation for this the last time we were studying this chapter, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit would reveal themselves to the believer. But it says, The world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Paul talks about circumcision. And we understand what physical circumcision is. The Jews were commanded on the eighth day to circumcise their male children. And that was a personal thing that the Jew had between him and God. And it was, again, a private thing. Not everyone could see, hey, you know, this man, he's circumcised, because it's not obvious. It's a hidden thing. It's a private thing. And Paul mentions that there should be a circumcision in the heart, and what have you. But it says that the world would see Christ no more, but we would continue to see Christ. Again, by His Spirit, what have you. But Christ comes to live, again, by the agent of the Spirit, but Christ comes to live in the heart. In the circumcised heart, if you will, if you want to reference Paul. But it is a personal reality, just as the Jew in a private fashion could say, Yes, I belong to God. A Christian in a private fashion, in his heart, knows that he belongs to the Lord. He knows that God has done something in his heart, because there's the reality that God lives in the heart and in the life of a Christian. Now in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Now obviously, the Sanhedrin, or whoever it was that they were dealing with, they knew that they were disciples. But there's another reality there. Yes, the circumcision in the heart, that's a private thing. But when Christ comes to the sinner and converts him, there's a reality, as I said, inside. But it doesn't stay inside long, because that person is changed. Instead, and I've said many times, instead of running to the bar on Saturday night, on Sunday morning he runs to church. Instead of cursing the Lord's name, he begins to praise the Lord instead. He doesn't listen to the dirty jokes, or what have you. I can give many examples of how the Christian has changed. And today, someone that is trying to follow God, someone that is seeking the Lord, someone that has this reality living and moving in his heart, people can look and say, well, hey, that's obviously a Christian. Maybe they wouldn't use this exact phrase that the Pharisees would have you use, that they had been with Jesus. But it's obvious. Many times you can look and see, well, this person here, it's obvious that he's a Christian. He's living for God. But I said last time that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're the earthen vessel, we're mere clay. But God's Spirit comes to live in us, and it's a precious thing. It's a treasure. And I made reference to the pearl of great price and what have you. It's a precious thing. It is for me, and it is for many of my friends. And if you'll give God half a chance, he'll show you that this thing is real, and he'll show you. He'll reveal himself to you, it says. And you too will understand that the indwelling of the Spirit is a precious thing. Now here in verse 21 it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, "Not Iscariot." In other words, this wasn't Judas Iscariot speaking. "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me." Now, I guess there's a number of things here, but it says in verse 23 that Jesus and the Father, it says that we'll love him. If you keep God's commandments, not the Ten Commandments, we're not saved by works. We're not saved by keeping any commandment. But if we, through love and through respect and what have you, do the things that are written in this book, we're in effect keeping God's commandments. And if we're going to live by the Bible, if you look at some of David's writings, some of Solomon's writings in Psalms and Proverbs, you see that there's a living relationship. And you can look at these men, especially David, and understand that they wanted to follow God. They wanted to do right. If that attitude is in you, it says that God will love you. The Father and the Son will love you and will come to live with you. Now we know that God, John 3:16, that God loves even the sinner. But if you, as a father, have a son that does what you ask him to do, you know that is pleasing to you. You know that you have a faithful son, what have you, and you go out of your way to try to do nice things for him. He may be your son by birthright, but if he's a faithful son and he does what you say, then there's a special relationship there, over and above just, hey, you know, I begat this kid. But these verses here talk about relationship, and I don't really have the time, and I haven't laid the foundation for it. But in the book of Exodus, starting at chapter 25 to the end, and I hope that we'll have a chance to study it, God shows Moses and directs him, what have you, to build the temple. And we see in that temple that there is a relationship that's pictured, that the sinner comes in through the door, and we know that he said that the door is Christ. And the whole temple is a picture of Christ and our approaching him and our relationship with him and etc. But the sinner comes and brings his lamb, and the lamb is sacrificed, and the person is accepted, his sins forgiven, or what have you. But the priests, they had the special privilege of being able to go into the holy place and offer sacrifice, what have you, to drop spices on the golden altar. And all of these things are symbolic, and I don't have the time to go into them. But also, once a year, there was the Holy of Holies, that the high priest would make a sacrifice once a year. And it has to do with relationship. You can be in the courtyard, but you can be in the kingdom of God. But God will call you, maybe call you to prayer. Not, oh, it's Wednesday, I have to go to prayer meeting. But he will call you and move upon your heart to pray. There'll be a yearning in your heart to seek the Lord, to spend time with him. That's a relationship. Obviously, every Christian should pray, but when the Spirit of God woos you and directs you and leads you, and you begin to obey him, there's a special relationship that is available to the Christian. I can testify of it. Many others can testify, and it is available to you, to everyone that would decide to pursue the Lord. But verse 25, he says, "But these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I have said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Again, there are several things in this passage. Once again, he says that the Comforter is coming. The Holy Spirit, he said. But he's called the Comforter. In Greek, again, the word parakletos, another comforter, one called alongside to help. But the Spirit is a comforter. And I can, again, testify of the great comfort that God has shown to me in my heart, again, as the word says. But then it says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Spirit gives illumination. And the more that you study the Word of God, the more that God will illuminate these things to you. The more that you study and know the Word of God, when you get into a situation, the Lord can lead you very easily by reminding you of a certain scripture. And again, God can lead you many different ways. But the emphasis will always be God's leadership through the Word of God. In verse 29, he says, "And now, I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. And I believe he's speaking of the day of Pentecost, the mighty outpouring of the Spirit, when these things would come to pass. He's telling his disciples, look, it's going to happen, so that when it happens, you believe. He is telling the future. And these last couple of verses, and I won't take the time to read them, but he ends the chapter by saying that, hey, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, and etc. He's reminding his disciples of the mission that he had yet to accomplish. And he says, arise, let us go hence. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.